Well, thank you all. Really, since the even before Salisa and I arrived here in Ottawa, we were made to feel welcome. We were made to feel like we were part of the family here at Grace, and it has just been a blessing from day one. Anybody who is willing to embrace us in the midst of our craziness as a family, thank you for that. Thank you for allowing me to stumble forward, that I don't always do a great job of hiding my imperfections, but I never feel like I have to, which is great. Let's stumble forward together. Thank you. Our scripture passage this morning comes from 1 Samuel chapter 17. We are continuing in the story of David. This is David and Goliath. So week three of four, talking about David and Goliath. So we have seen David arrive at camp. He's talked to his brothers. His brothers have kind of given him a hard time. We've seen his outrage at Goliath and the things that Goliath are saying. And now we pick up in verse 31. It says, when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. And this uncircumcised Philistine should be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God. So here we have David. As I said, he's arrived in camp. He's really in awe of why in the world are these people afraid of this Philistine? And he makes his way through camp asking that question, are you really afraid of him? And is what has been promised by Saul true? Will the person who defeats him really be rewarded? And finally, this word, it makes it back to Saul. And there's a couple of things to note about David's initial response to Goliath. The first is that David acknowledged that the God of Israel was a living God who must be taken seriously by all the people, including the Philistines. David recognized that Israel belonged to God, that the armies of Israel belonged to God, and that therefore by insulting the armies of Israel, that this Philistine was insulting God. And David regarded the speaker of these insults, this Philistine, unworthy. He said, why should I acknowledge him, let alone fear him? this man who dares mock the living God. And so he's brought before Saul because of these bold and brave words, the things that no one else dared to say, maybe that they feared to say. And David says to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. David's address to Saul, really, it's a personal statement to Saul. Because remember, Saul is the one that was supposed to go out and fight this Goliath. That he was the one chosen by the nation of Israel to fight their battles for them. He was supposed to be more than just a figurehead. He was supposed to be the defender of the nation. You know, in all of the descriptions of Saul, it describes Saul as being this tall, mighty warrior of a man. He fits the description. But he's terrified. And so when David said, "Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath," he's speaking directly to Saul. And that these words, they're meant to be, it's not like a strength issue, it's a heart issue. David recognizes that Saul's heart is no longer in it, that he has turned away from God. And he goes on and he says, "I will fight for you." And if you follow along even more, it says that David identifies himself as Saul's servant. "I, your servant, will follow. Do not be afraid, for I will fight." This language of David should help us remember some other Old Testament stories that have happened. And really, the story of David and Goliath is designed to point us towards Jesus. So David says to Saul, "Fear not, for I will fight for you." When Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt and the people are afraid, Moses' response is, "Do not be afraid, for the Lord, the God, will fight for you." And then we see in Luke chapter 2, see if you recognize this verse. "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Fear not, for the Lord will fight for you. Really, this is what David is trying to communicate to Saul. And all of these statements on the surface seem almost ridiculous. As Moses is leading the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and the armies of Pharaoh are thundering behind them, it's terrifying. The Israelite people didn't have weapons, they didn't have an army, they were people fleeing for their lives with what they could carry. David stands before Saul, this shepherd boy, not old enough to fight in the army. And then the passage from Luke, that our salvation would come from a baby in a manger. Unexpected ways that our mighty God works. The bigness of our God. So Saul, initially, he questions David. He's like, you know, I appreciate, you know, your heart in this, but okay, you know, this is funny, but, you know, let's move on. And David's like, no. He's like, David said he's fought lions and bears, and he has defeated them. I don't know anybody. I don't think I have ever met anybody in my life who could fight a lion or a bear. I mean, I've heard of it. I know I couldn't do it. I don't think any of you could do it. I mean, no offense. Prove me wrong. I mean, but, and it's like, okay. You know, starting to have a little bit of confidence in this. But then David goes on to say that the Lord will be with him, that the Lord will fight with him. And David's not wrong. I mean, we know that he has been anointed, that God's Spirit is upon him, and it will not depart from him. And so we know that God goes with David. The Lord will save. And so Saul says, okay, why not? I think at this point, I mean, Saul, he's out of options. He's not about to go out and fight. He knows that he doesn't have the energy, the strength, or really the motivation behind him, the respect anymore to send out his armies as a force. None of them are going to go. And so he says, okay. But he's still thinking like Saul. And so he puts his armor on David, you know, and it doesn't fit right. And David sees probably not used to wearing armor like this. And he's like, I can't do this. And so he takes it off and he grabs a few rocks in his sling and he heads out to fight the Philistine. And I won't spoil the story for you. I won't let you know what happens. But the story of David, as I said, is designed to point us towards Jesus and how Jesus moves and works in our life. That we are supposed to be like David. That we have this bold confidence. Because I've said this many times, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of the Lord was with God's people or on God's people. Today in the New Testament, since the Spirit of the Lord is in us, it dwells in us. We have the anointing of God inside of us as His chosen people, as His sons and daughters. God has said, I have chosen you. And those whom God has chosen, He has plans for. He will do great things in the midst of your weakness. David was not special. He wasn't some great warrior. He was skilled. He did something that a lot of us probably couldn't do. But I would imagine that David was not the only shepherd who was capable of defending his flock. That would probably have been a relatively common occurrence. That would be something that a shepherd at the time would have been tasked with, of defending their flock. And so it sounds outrageous to me to fight a lion, but maybe not so much in David's context. What sets David apart is his belief in his calling. And so David sees this giant before him, a giant that everyone has every right to fear. He's massive. He's a warrior of a man. And David versus Goliath, in that story, if the story really was David versus Goliath, David would have lost. Because that's not the real title of the story. The real title of the story is God versus Goliath. And in that story, in the story of every Goliath that has ever been, that has stood up to God, every single one of them has fallen, and every single one of them will fall. And so if you are stepping out into the calling that God has called you to, and there appears a Goliath before you, then we take the confidence of David. We remind ourselves of all of the things that have transpired up to this point that should give us confidence in that victory. David recounted all of those times where he has fought with the Lord's help and he has won. And so looking backwards, all of us have those moments in our lives where we have had those times where we don't know how we're in the world we're going to get through this. How am I going to recover? How am I ever going to be okay again? How am I ever going to be out of debt? How am I ever going to be healthy? How am I ever going to love again? How am I ever going to trust someone again? Whatever it might be, we all have those moments. Maybe we're going through them right now. But it's looking backwards and it's saying that we have made it through every single one of those times. And the proof is that we're here right now. And God is saying, do you not have the confidence? Are you not? Do you not believe that I will continue to do that? I've brought you to this point for a reason. I have a hope, a future for you. David's story gives us hope for our future, but it also gives us hope in the present. The giants that you're facing now are not too big for God. The problem is that frequently we are like Saul, and we think that we need to gather all of these worldly resources, put on our own armor or the armor of someone else, or to reach out elsewhere, and to think that somehow if we acquire enough resources or enough skill, or if we simply had enough time, that we could overcome these giants somehow on our own. David recognizes that there's no armor in the world that's going to protect him. There's no weapons, you know, that he can suddenly, you know, acquire that is going to make him more equipped than he already is and who God has made him. David did not win. God won. God will win every time. And so, friends, that is my encouragement for us this morning. No matter what struggles you are facing, no matter what giants may stand before you, taunting you and your God, and standing in the way of what God has called you to do, do not allow those giants to defy and insult your God. Pick up your rocks. Stumble forward. Step forward in faith and obedience, knowing that God is with you and that He will fight for you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much. I thank you so much that we don't have to fight these battles, that you fight them for us. Father, we are so undeserving, and yet you continue to love us. You continue to demonstrate your grace for us. Thank you for that gift. Thank you that even though that we are David's, or even at times Saul's, that you stand with us. We thank you, Father, and we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen.